And really, what I'm trying to do here this evening is, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to challenge people, especially young people, for missions. And it says in the Proverbs, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's very true for the church in general, but it's also very true for the local church. They need to have a vision for missions. We need to have a vision for the lost and for people about us going out to a lost eternity. And I looked in the scripture and I said, is there any place that we can understand this from a heavenly perspective and get some idea of how God views the situation here in the earth? And I thought of this section of scripture in 2 Kings. Verse 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a camp of doves dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barren press, or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. Turning over, if you will, now to chapter 7 and verse 3. And there were four leprous men, at entering in the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there, and if we sit here, we shall die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go out onto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come unto the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when those lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried hence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried tents also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Now I'm not going to explain too much on this particular section of scripture. I think I'm just using it to make an analogy of the type of the situation that we have in the world. You know, there's a picture here of a great famine in Samaria, and that famine was so great and so desperate that they were reduced to cannibalism. And really it's a picture of what sin does. Sin suppresses the people and it oppresses people and it keeps them in bondage. And this world really, if you take that city in Samaria as a type of the world, there was nothing in that city to satisfy them in the bodily for hunger of food. And if we look at this world, there's nothing in this world really to satisfy the soul. God has not made any other provision except the provision of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shed blood there on that cross to meet and to provide for the hunger of the soul, the forgiveness of sin. And the people that had everything in that city, that all the kind of material blessing that they wanted, there was nothing there that satisfied them. And I was just thinking, you know, we've been singing here this different songs here this evening. But I just thought came to me about that song. And before I got saved, the song of the Rolling Stones, it says, I can't find no satisfaction, though I tried and I tried and I tried. And there's a lot of people in this world, and that's the way they are. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for peace of mind. They're looking to be right with God, but they can't find no satisfaction. So they try through all their different religions and all their ideologies and all their philosophies and all their good works. There's nothing there to satisfy a hungry soul. And then we find, so we do, four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? You know, that's the way it is. The world can't save you, good works can't save you. And these men, they were outcasts. They were on the fringe of society. They were leprous men. They were cast outside the gate. So as bad as things were for people inside the city, things were worse for these four leprous men. There were people living on the fringe. There were people who were despised and rejected. And this world had no time for them. And they became used by God to go into the camp of the Syrians. And then we find that they went into the camp of the Syrians, and on discovering all the abundant supply of food in the camp of the Assyrians and all the provision that was there, they said one to another, we do not well, this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, and we may go and tell the king's household. It's often the despised and rejected of men that become the agents of God. People living on the fringe of society. And if you look through your Bible, you'll find time and time again it's the outcasts and the people who are not really in the mainstream of society are the people that God has used. And he used these four leprous men. And when they weighed up things and they reckoned things in their own mind, they reckoned that it was better to step forward in faith rather than to wait around and die. And they had to take a chance and they had to take a risk. And sometimes that's the way God works. He puts you in a situation and he changes the circumstances in your life until the only way you can go is to go forward for God and to step out in faith. He burdens you to that extent that you just have to step out for him. And these four leprous men, when they went outside the camp and they came to the camp of the Assyrians, they found that there was an abundant supply. And you see, that's the way God's provision. It's not really in anything that this world has to offer. It's outside the camp. There's an abundant supply. When we look at the cross of Christ, and we look at the shed blood of the Lamb, and we see all that God has accomplished for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize there's an abundant supply for everybody. But not everybody gets to hear about it. And what did they come to the conclusion? It says, we do not well, this day is a day of good tidings. This day is a day of good tidings. This is the day of God's grace to the world. And God is reaching out to men with the good news how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he's willing to forgive men and women, something that heretofore was never heard of under the law. A day of grace where there's an abundant supply and people have to come and appropriate it to themselves. The leprous men had to come and they had to appropriate it to themselves. And the people inside the city, when they heard the news, they had to come out and they had to appropriate it to themselves. And it's the same with each and every one of us. There was a time in our lives when we had to appropriate God's provision to us and make it our own. But we need to go and tell others. It's not enough to sit here. It's not enough to just keep it to ourselves. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. We need to go and tell, and that's why the Lord gave that great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to get burdened for souls about us. And it's great to see this island being blessed. And I love to see blessing. And I was just walking through the graveyard there the other day, and I looked at all the different headstones and the graves, and I saw, you know, died in the Lord Jesus, and all the different verses, and resting in Jesus, and lived, and it was great to see that. To see people who lived their lives in this island for the Lord Jesus Christ and died in Christ. And that brings great peace. But you know, there's lots of people in the world and they never get to hear the name. And they never hear, they get to hear the good news. And it's our responsibility to reach others for Christ. And this despised and rejected people, they're in the Caribbean as much as around Ireland. And they're everywhere in the world. You find people who are despised and rejected. The Lord himself, what was he? He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and we knew him not. And we hid, as it were, our faces from them. Sometimes the very people that we need to reach out to are the last people in the world we want to reach out to. They're the very people. And that's, I'm going to just talk to you about a group of people in Ireland that were, a large extent in Ireland, are among the despised and rejected. That's the Traveller Gypsy community in Ireland and the refugees who recently come into Ireland. And I said I was going to keep a short message, and I'm going to keep it short because I have some slides to show you. And at the end of the time then, I'll just ask if any people have any questions. And if there's any questions, I'll try and answer them to the best of my knowledge. Okay, if we could just turn off the lights for a moment. Okay, when I say left, I'm going to mean year left. Okay, when I say right, I mean year right. Okay, so this is Cathy came to Ireland about 15 years ago, and she brought with her four small children, the oldest of which was 9. And she went to Dublin, Ireland, and she was engaged in some outreach work there with CMML and Ireland Outreach. And she was doing door work with Greg Spiegelman and people like that for the best part of 5 years. And then one day some traveller gypsy people came into our estate in Ireland, in Dublin. And she started witnessing them, and she found that it was they were very open people and very receptive to the gospel. And these are the four children that are growing up now. And Jason and Becca, Jason's on year right, and he's in the north of Ireland now. And Becca's the third from the right, and she's also in the north. Both of them are married, and they have grandchildren. She's getting used to this computer. Okay, these are our next door neighbours, and around the year 2000, an awful lot of refugees started coming to Ireland from different parts of the world. I think a lot of it has to do with the economic prosperity of the country, but also because of the loose immigration laws. And I think there about 100,000 people came from different parts of Africa and what have you into Ireland around the year 2000. And these are our next door neighbours. They're from the Congo, and they were fleeing because of persecution in the Congo, and they came to Ireland. And this is some more people there from New Zealand, and that's Cathy, and that's a picture inside our house. The previous slide was a picture outside our house that was being built at the time. And this picture here is a picture of two girls, and the one on the right in the Pepe jeans is Kiara. And she made a profession of faith when she was a very young girl, about 5 or 6. And she used to go to all the children's meetings and everything like that. And she more or less lived in and around Cathy and her family at that time. But both her parents are alcoholics, and she couldn't handle the pressure anymore. And about a year and a half ago, she decided she was going to try and end it all. And she took an overdose of tablets, of heart tablets or what have you. And when they came to pick her up, she was supposed to be clinically dead or whatever, but they revived her. And she ended up being totally brain, she has some brain damage, but her eyes and her, she's totally blind now because the tablets that she took caused a big problem to her optic nerve. And so she's in a wheelchair now and she's in rehab. And if somebody I'd like to keep in prayer is Kira. And the girl on the left is a girl called Frances who has a lot of domestic problems. And she made a profession of faith at a children's camp about a year and a half ago as well, 2 years ago. And this is just a picture of our children's meeting, which we have in Bray. And you can see there's a lot of children there. It's called the TP Club, the Tomorrow's People Club. And that's just some of the children that we have at that children's school. And this is a picture of the chap on the left. Is David Potter. And David served the Lord for about 20 years in Ireland doing open-air work and evangelism and sketchboarding and what have you. And he did it consistently 2 days a week for about 20 years. And then recently he developed cancer of the colon. And they operated on him and they said they got it all out, but he went into severe depression as a result of all this. And it's been a kind of a great loss in that he's got so depressed and he doesn't want to go on doing the evangelism at this moment in time. So we'd like you to keep David in your prayers. And the chap on the right is Pat. Got you with a scar. And he works with me in outreach in Dublin City Centre and doing creation ministry as well. So, and this is another fellow evangelist. He's Liam. And Liam has been, for the last 10-15 years, he's been working together with us doing outreach in different estates and the cities and the suburbs of Dublin. And his wife in the background, she's recently been diagnosed with she's had an operation for breast cancer, and she's been given a 30% chance of making a full recovery. So somebody like to keep in your prayers is Colette, because she's got a family of small children, so we'd like you to remember her, Colette and Liam Fitzpatrick. You might know the person on your right is Tim Hood and Linda Hood, and they're missionaries from Canada. And the chap on the left is Jerry O'Connor. He's a traveller, gypsy. And we have a very much of an open door policy in our house for anyone who comes. We really bring him in and entertain him or whatever, and try and share the good news of the gospel with them. And Jerry is somebody that has been witnessing death and doing children's meetings in his house for the last 5 years. But he's still not saved. So Jerry is somebody we'd like to remember in prayer. And Tim and Linda Hood, they're the couple that had Larry Price over to Ireland last year. So you know Larry. So that might have been taken at the time that Larry was over. I'm not sure. But that's Eric Davis. Eric Davis does an outreach children Bible studies with children, and he also does a lot of printing work for us. And he's a great support for us as well. And this is Bobby Farkner and his wife. And even though they're an elderly couple and they're pensioners, it's amazing the amount that even in the latter years you can accomplish for God, because of being they supply us with an awful lot of literature and calendars and tracts and what have you. And even though he is very little, he's been a great support for the people in the south of Ireland in different ways. And this is a picture of our assembly in Bray. And the chap in the back is Reg Finney. He's our elder. And Sam Bardsley, you might have heard of him. He's on the left, in the far left. He's a singer, tenor. And there's a picture of my assembly in Cork. And that assembly, it closed about 2 years ago. I thought it was never going to open again. But it opened in about a year and a half ago again. And there's got about 20 people in it today. So we're thankful for that to the Lord. And this is just the beginning of some of our refugee slides. And we do a lot of, the refugees are different. They came in, as I said, in the year 2000, and we found a great opportunity among them, because a lot of them, they didn't have any friends in the country, they didn't know anybody, and we just started, they're placed in these different hostels and refugee centres around Dublin, and they're very put in very confined conditions, and they have very little. So we started bringing clothes and bread to them, and they were very receptive of whatever we gave them, and then we used that as a way to start Bible studies in the little rooms that they had. And we get the bread from the supermarkets at the end of the day. They, they throw out whatever's left of the fresh bread, so we just collect it and we bring it around to people in need, and it's just the work we do. And this is this is another refugee who we've been given bread and doing Bible studies with. And this is Jesse, and we've had several studies here with Jesse and her husband. Her husband is an ex-Roman Catholic priest, but we've had several studies with them, but they still haven't trusted the Lord, even though they've heard 20 times. And remember Jesse and her husband in prayer. And there was a lot of different ethnic groups came into Ireland around the year 2000, and we met different people from different backgrounds. And a lot of them came from Nigeria, and that was both Christians or professing Christians and Muslims. And this is a Muslim family that we had in our Bible studies in one of those refugee Bible studies. And that's Titi on the right, and that was the initiation ceremony for her baby. And she just invited us along, even though she never came out and said that she trusted the Lord. She was very enthusiastic to listen to anything that we had to say from the scriptures. So you can remember Titi and her husband, and we had a great opportunity there. This is just typical of the type of room that they place the refugees in when they come to Ireland. And this is the kind of situation that we have to have the Bible studies in. We just all sit in the bed like that and get around with Bibles and what have you. And that's Josephine there on the right, and that's Julius, her husband. And both of those, when they came to us, they were professing Christians, but they didn't know very much about the gospel, so we started a series of Bible studies with them. And that's Bosun on the middle there. And Bosun comes from a Muslim family in Nigeria. And at first he was very apprehensive about listening to anything about the scriptures, but as he listened and listened, in the year 2001, he decided to trust the Lord as his personal Savior after hearing about hell and the consequences of going out into a lost eternity. And it's somebody we'd like you to pray for a lot, because Bosun was going on very, very well for the Lord, and he was in the assembly and he was baptized. And then one day the immigration officers came by and they picked him up and they put him in a plane and they shipped him back to Nigeria. And then he had to make his way back illegally again back to Britain. And it's somebody we'd like you to continue in prayer. He's in Britain at the moment, but he's continuing on for the Lord as best he can. This is the baptism of Julius and Josephine and Bosun in Greystones in County Wicklow. And that's them after the baptism and their children. And this is just the beginning of some of the traveller slides we brought. And this chap here, he's a traveller from County Limerick, and he's trying to race in the buggy. And they like horses a lot. And this is a typical situation where you'll find a travelling type of community. Mostly they park on the side of a main road or something like that, because they're not allowed to park on any private property. They'll have all their caravans confiscated. So they park on the side of the main road, and it's very dangerous for children. But we usually just approach the caravans and just exchange some bread and some clothes with them, and then start a Bible study with them in the caravans, and they're usually very open to that. But a lot of the time the travellers themselves they get a lot of hostility from mainstream society. A lot of it's because they do work an awful lot with removing rubbish from different places, but they don't dispose of it correctly, so it causes a lot of disagreement with the local people. And a lot of the time when you approach a site, there's a lot of burnt out cars and what have you, from cars being stolen or what have you, so that's another reason why they have problems. And sometimes the council do give them houses, but because of different reasons they'll burn out the houses. Sometimes it's envy, because some part of the family has got a house and another part of the family hasn't got a house, so because of envy they'll either burn them out. But sometimes it's just because of superstition, because if somebody dies in a house, they believe that they're doing the person a favour if they get rid of the evil spirits by burning out the house. Now that's a strange superstition, but that's the way they see it, you know, they'll burn out a caravan or a house because of that. And some of them have very difficult circumstances to live in, and especially the children, they suffer an awful lot. And the weather can be very cold and very rainy in Ireland. these two lads here, they were sleeping in this van for the best part of 2 years before eventually they got housing. And we had numerous Bible studies with that family. And this is another house that we had some Bible studies in. And just to give you an understanding of the unpredictability, is sometimes they can be given a house like this and you can be doing Bible studies in it, and then you can go up the next day and find it completely shut up and you wonder why. And often it's because they've had a disagreement with other travellers or with the locals, because often when they move into a housing estate with other people, the other people don't accept them, so it usually causes problems, so they're forced to move out. And a lot of them are totally illiterate. As a matter of fact, 75%, I'd say, of the adult community can't read or write whatsoever. And we often try to teach them verses of scripture and things like that, teach them how to read, combine the two. And they're very open to that, but it's a very time-consuming process to try and teach them to read. So we try and reach them an awful lot of the time with just giving them gospel tapes and ministry tapes and what have you. And they'll listen to these very readily, and you'll often hear them. They'll be asking for more all the time, and they listen to them in their car radios and what have you. They have a very good memory. So if you teach them anything, you tell them everything, they can nearly tell you 2 years later exactly what you said. So it's amazing how keen they are to remember what you teach them. And this is just a friend of ours helping us to deliver some bread and some clothes to them. And we also give out videos of different gospel preachers. I understand you had Joe Reese here not so long back, but we've given out a lot of Joe Reese's gospel messages on videotapes for the travellers. So they appreciate them. And this is just another... this is just a traveller caravan not so far from us that Caddy was doing some outreach to. And this is another local group of caravans that were kept in the main road. And just another typical situation. And this is a family that we've been doing outreach to now for the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, on our way to Cork. I live in Cork originally. And this family... Anne and Arthur McDonough, even though you can see from the background there that they're still very staunch traditional Irish Roman Catholic family, they're very receptive to the gospel and the word. And I just went and I've shared Bible studies with the children and with them, and they're very open to the gospel. So you continue to remember the McDonoughs in your prayers. And this is just Jimmy Cawley's daughter. Yeah. And this is Rebecca, and she often helps us with children's meetings. And the children's meetings can be anywhere. They can be on a wall or Guanca or in a caravan. And this particular family here is Marie and Patrick, and she's been diagnosed with cancer, and she's been left with these, she's a load of small children, and she's afraid for her children, because if she dies, there's nobody really to look after children, because her husband's completely deaf and dumb. And they live in a caravan there in Greystones, and it's a family we'd like you to remember in prayer if you could. And this is another family that's completely been broken up because of drink. And that's Patrick. that's the Power family. And all the children have been taken from because of drink problems in the house. But we've had numerous Bible studies with this family. And it's amazing then how whenever we seem to start getting on with Bible studies, how the devil comes in and causes some problem and takes the children or what have you. And this is the O'Rourke family. And there's been a lot of children's meetings with this particular family. And in some ways even though you could be getting on well with them and you could get to know a family very well, sometimes you can find yourself, you know, like for this particular family, Cathy one day, she was doing a Bible study with the children, and as she was doing the Bible study, one of the young fellows was helping himself to the contents of her purse. But she, and she went back afterwards to ask him who took the money, and none of them would own up, but she said, at least could you give me my purse back? And, they said, okay, you can find your purse down by the river, but none of us took the money, you know. So, that's typical, but we come to accept that, you know. You kind of really have to, a lot of them don't understand that stealing is wrong, you know. It's amazing, they can sometimes have very high moral principles, but when it comes to stealing, they don't see it as wrong. And then this is an area we need to remember them in prayer, that they get a conviction in that area. And this is a family down in Greystone that are believers, and we had a little Bible study in that caravan when that was taken. And I think the lights went out that night, and we left doing it in the dark, but anyway. And this is just, this is Mary in the middle and her friends, and we've been witnessing to her for years and years, and she says she trusts the Lord, but she never really comes out of the traveller community and goes to any meetings or anything like that, because an awful lot of time travellers won't integrate with mainstream Irish society for two reasons. One, because they don't think they can get on with them, and the other reason is because local people just don't accept travellers, and even if they came into a meeting such as this, they'd find themselves being sitting at the back of the meeting or being left out or really being separated, so they don't integrate that well. And sometimes what we try to do is we take the children from their families and take them away on weekends, and these are just two girls that we've taken away, Rita and Pamela, and just bring them up to the north of Ireland where there's a lot of Christian families and show them some Christian hospitality, and they're very receptive to that kind of thing, and it's been a great way to witness to the children, and they love doing that. And we can't really bring them on camps by themselves, but this is what we do instead. We just bring them to different believers and let them have a good time, you know. So, and this is Kathleen, and she lives in Greystones, and she listens to a lot of audio tapes, and she has been for years. And somebody, we've constantly been giving tape recorders and have it to her, but as long as she continues to listen to the tapes, we don't mind. And this is a typical situation. When you arrive into a traveller site, just which you meet loads of dogs and loads of children and loads of broken cars and what have you all around the place. It's called what's called a halting site. And sometimes you just have to hold the children's meetings wherever you find them, and whatever children are there, you can't really organise anything, but you just have to take it as you find it. And sometimes it can be on top of a horse box or top of a wall. They're sitting down the concrete or in a field. Again, concrete. So the top of a trailer or beside a caravan. And we just meet the children and just start asking, singing songs and tell them a story and then ask them verses of scripture and what have you. And sometimes it's in the car. These particular traveller children, they've been very enthusiastic for the Lord. They're the children of Jimmy Cawley, and we've been very encouraged by these children to love the Lord. And this is just some of Danny O'Brien's children. There's another traveller, and the O'Briens is one of the main people that we work with. The travellers tend to divide themselves up into different groups according to family name, like Stokes or O'Brien or McGinley or Powers. And you usually have certain names, it's just like tribes, and then they tend to stay within their own family circle an awful lot. This is the O'Brien time. We spend an awful lot of time with them. And this is Danny O'Brien's caravan. And he's 8 children. And for the best part of 3 years, he was in this little caravan himself and his wife and his 8 children. Until recently, they got a place from the council. But that's where they lived for 8 years. And we used to have the Bible studies in there with the 8 children and the parents. So you can imagine how crowded that was. And this is Jimmy Cawley and his wife. And Jimmy Cawley has professed faith in Christ and he's been baptized, and his wife. And these are his children as well. And this is how it all started, really. This is a caravan that was near our house. And this is Tom O'Brien's caravan. And he had this slogan up over his entrance to his caravan site. And it said, "Elvis is God." And we went in to ask him about it. And then he said, "Oh, I don't believe that." And he said that he wanted to be saved. He wanted to be born again, and when he did get born again, he was going to tell everybody about it. And not long after that, he did get saved, and he did get baptized, but he has a lot of problems at this moment in time going on for the Lord. So you can remember Tom O'Brien, particularly in your prayers. And this is his father, John, on your right in the red. And John is he's like a beacon of light for the Lord there among the traveling community. He tries to go to a meeting every day, and even though he can't read or write, he's very quick to tell everybody that he meets about the Lord. And That's Stephen McCarthy on the left. He's a safe traveller for about 20 years, and he helps us in traveller meetings. That's Tom O'Brien, caravan, and I suppose, and sometimes we combine the refugees and the travellers and Bible studies. And that was a picture taken by Caddy after a baptism one night. That's the moon in the background. And this is a picture of the day that Tom and Jimmy Cawley's family got baptised. They got baptised in the sea. And that's just a picture taken of the two of them as one was going out, the other one was coming in. And that's a picture of a baptism of some of the children one night in the river. And they were baptised in the river. We said they could get baptised in the assembly, but they preferred the river. They didn't want to go into the meeting. They wanted to just get baptised in the river, so we let them. And this is a picture of Seanogue O'Brien and his family. And Seanogue was one of the first travellers to come to me that I got to talk to about 5 years ago. But at that time, he was very hard against God and anything religious or anything spiritual. But it's amazing how he has softened over the years. And just before we came out here, I had a good 3-hour conversation about the things of the Lord. And he was very open. So you can remember Seanogue O'Brien and his family as well. And this is Lena. That's Tom's wife. And Lena is going through a very hard time at this moment in time. She's having an awful lot of domestic problems. So remember Lena, she's a professing Christian. This is Willie Stokes. And Willie is a traveller, and all his family have professed faith in Christ. And Willie was going on well for a while, but he's going on well again now. But there was a time there that he had a lot of problems, but he seems to be going on again great for the Lord. And we can remember Willie loves the Lord, and he taught himself how to read so that he could read the Bible. And it's just amazing how he had a desire so much to be able to understand and to be able to read the Bible. It's a privilege that we often take for granted. And he teaches others the Word of God when he's given an opportunity. And this is his son, Paddy. And Paddy engraves wood in calligraphy. Big, huge. He carves it out of the wood. It takes him some day, 3 or 4 days, to carve out verses of Scripture onto the wood. And he just gives it out then to people. And it's lovely when he does it. And it's a real work of love, a labor of love. And this is another part of the O'Brien clan. And they're in Ennis, in County Limerick. And The travellers are all over the country. We kind of have to go and visit them because they move around an awful lot. So we could get to know them in Dublin, but then we could find them in Galway or Limerick. So there's a lot of travelling involved in this ministry. And they've moved to Ennis. And that's Paddy on the left, and his wife and his children. And they've also professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been baptised. So. And this is a Bible study in Danny's house. Danny's another traveller who's been baptised, and this is his family, and I told you earlier about him living in his caravan and what have you. And they love to sing, and we have a meeting on a Friday night, and whenever we have the meeting, a lot of them like to sing, just like you like to sing here, and they love to sing hymns to the Lord and songs of praise. And this is just a group of us singing at that meeting. This is another group. And this is a meeting, another traveller family that we've had some Bible studies of recently with in their caravan. And this is one of their children just praying at the end of the meeting. And besides the traveller ministry, we do outreach in Dublin City Centre. And we have been doing it for years, usually on a Saturday. And that's a recent work. A lot of people from the north of Ireland wouldn't come down to Dublin to do any outreach or evangelism, but recently more and more have been. And particularly a chap by the name of Stuart Todd and Wilmer Artis and people like that have been coming down to help us. And it's a city of about 1.3 million people, so that's a big population in one city. And they're there from every nationality in the world. If you went back about 10 years ago, you didn't have nearly as many different nationalities, but in the last 10 years, it's like Ireland has become open to every type of people from every nationality, every background, every religious persuasion. And that verse of scripture about going into all the world and preaching the gospel, you only have to really go down the city centre and start giving out tracts or preaching, and you'll meet them there from all the Arabic countries and Asia and Thailand and every country in the world to meet people. And there have been a lot of festivals in Ireland, and at the different festivals we try to do an outreach, because we usually reach people there during those festivals that you couldn't reach during the rest of the time. And this is mostly a rural community, and there's about 100,000 farmers come to this particular festival every year. This is called the Ploughing Championship, and we hand out an awful lot of tracts and calendars and what have you. This is actually what we'll be doing when we go back. We'll be doing the Ploughing Championship again, and it's something that's only started about 10 years ago, but it's a great way to reach people that otherwise couldn't be reached. And this is Lean, helping me do some outreach in City Centre, outside Trinity College. And this is Pat, and these are the calendars we gave out at the Ploughing Championship last year, and they really went like hotcakes. They loved them. And this is Pat again, outside Trinity. Pat and myself started this year. We found out when we were outside Trinity that the best way to witness to young people in particular, people who aren't trusting the Lord, or you try to witness them about Bible things and you find that you didn't get their ear, but we started talking to them about things like creation. And a lot of them hold evolution as a fact in Ireland. I know it's different here in the Bahamas, but in Ireland and in Europe generally, people they take evolution as a fact, mostly because it's taught in the textbooks when they're at school that way. And we just challenge them on that, and we've been challenging a lot of young people in the colleges on this particular thing, and we've been getting a good reaction. And recently, because of our outreach to students about creation, one of the main universities in Dublin asked us to write up an article on our defence of creation versus evolution. And we did an article, and we got a very good reception for it, and it was given out to all the students in the college, praise the Lord. And we didn't put that picture in. They put that picture in. And they didn't put any of the references in. We had a load of references in there, but they didn't put those in either. But they did print the article, so we're thankful for that. And it's something that makes people think. Because when you think about evolution, it really is there. It's kind of like a smoke screen to put God millions and billions of years away. But when you take away that smoke screen of evolution, people realize that there's a God that they have to give an account to. And it's very important. You know, if you're going to witness to them, that they first realize that there is a God and that you have to give an account to him. You might recognize this man here. This is Ron Hampton. And he's a Canadian. And he does an outreach to Ireland nearly every year. And he was a missionary to Ireland for many years. And then he comes back with a team of young people every year to Ireland. And this is the team he came back with this year. And mainly they come over for a month to Ireland. And they do door work. And they learn the basics about evangelism and doing outreach and talking to people with the gospel and sharing their faith and things like that. And then they do Bible studies and devotions. And it's a great time of encouragement for them and a great way to encourage them in missions and to do outreach. And if there's anybody here, particularly young people, that team usually occurs in June. And I understand that June is a hot month in the Bahamas anyhow. So if there's any young people and they're interested in doing some kind of a mission work or short-term mission work, you know, they should really contact Ron Hampton, because he takes people from all over the States and from Canada, and he brings them to Ireland at that time of the year, and he brings them back again safely. I don't think that he's lost any so far, so it's just something they might... This is a... We try to challenge young people to missions, and during the summertime, it's a good opportunity, and we take the mission teams to different places that perhaps haven't heard the gospel that much in Europe. We've done teams to the north of France and eastern Germany. And it's basically, even though we can't speak the language, we try to work with the local believers and organize gospel meetings and do literature outreach. And last year we did an outreach team to Croatia in association with Ministry for Europe Trust. And that was the team that went out with us. There's about 20 individuals there, I think, and they did ministry, did outreach, sorry, for about 2 weeks into the high-rise buildings in and around Rijeka in Croatia. That's just the morning prayer meeting then at that particular outreach. And these are some people who come down from the north of Ireland and helped us do distribution to the travellers of clothes and food and what have you. And that's Matthew. Matthew, we met him in Croatia, and he decided he loved us so much that he was going to come back with us. So he came back with us to Ireland, and he's staying with us now. He's stayed with us now for a year, and he eventually he wants to be a missionary to Bosnia, and he's minding our house at the moment. And so, if you remember Matt in your prayers, who, and his aspirations to be a missionary. And this is just a slide to remind me of our work among the homeless. I was just passing the homeless centre one day, and this is the, some fella had left his cup of tea and his shoes and his sandwich there like that, and went away and left them there. Like, I couldn't resist the temptation to take the photograph, just because it reminded me something like the rapture, you know, that he just vanished, you know, and left everything behind him. But usually on Saturdays there's what's called an inner city mission in Dublin, and it's really to reach an outreach to drug addicts and homeless people, and we usually bring a lot of bread and that, and they have meetings there on a Saturday and Friday night. So, and this is just a reminder of the camp work. We do a lot of camp work among young children, and the children are taken out from different schools and different backgrounds, and they come to this camp in Avoca in County Wicklow, which is about an hour's drive south of us. And the camps usually have about 80 to 100 people, and it's a great opportunity to witness to young people, because they love to go camping, and they don't mind listening to you talking to them for about an hour about the Lord if they're enjoying themselves. And this is just some of the young fellows I've worked with on those camps. That's another group. And this is just a reminder of, we've had about 9 foster children to date, and this is one of the ones we've had recently. Her name is Ella. And just going, this is John. John, and this is Brian and Crystal, and they're with us today, and they've gone to America, and they've come to the Caribbean, and they've been with us now since last November. So there's somebody else we'd like to remember in prayer. And that's Robin on the far left. And Robin, he's somebody we particularly like you to remember. He's one of our foster children, ran into a lot of problems, and we'd like you to particularly remember him in prayer at this moment in time. And that's Rebecca, and that's our granddaughter Caitlin, and Jason also has a grandson, Caleb, and that's the last of that. So you can turn on the lights again. Now, if anyone has a question or anything, or if somebody wants to conclude, has anybody got a question that they'd like to ask briefly? Sorry, I know I've gone over the time a bit anyhow, so pardon. Oh yeah, there's prayer letters there beside the computer if anyone wants to pick up one on their way out. I'd like to thank you all very much for being so patient and listening so well. And just really, if you kind of remember the O'Brien family in particular in prayer, the Stokes family, and that girl that tried to commit suicide, if you can remember her. And generally, if you can remember to all the TNT teams, the outreach and the work among the camps is something I'd like you to remember in prayer. And the Lord answers prayer, and we can't really do it. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. That's basically it. And...